o'clock hour
of Wildy and Tausch with Steve the Homer Truitt as our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs. We believe in better. Begins now, and before we get to Homer's apology and to Wildy and Tausch trivia, let's go to the phones. And a tweet from Matt Coonan. Are we sure the guy on hold is Keith, or is it just Gabe's dad following up on Jason's bill? For those of you who don't know, Gabe's dad's name is Mark, but I inadvertently called him Keith first time I met him, even though I knew his name was Mark. So let's welcome Mark slash Keith to the show. Keith, good morning. Thanks for holding on so long. What do you got for us?
Good morning, Gabe. Not an electrician, so...
There's a man who listens to the show. Thank you very much, Keith.
I just wanted to push back a little bit on, I think, the kind of general vibe about the receivers. And, I totally understand when people just compare stats year to year and everything. You know, last year wasn't impressive. But, I think you have to put it in the context of what they did last year. And last year they threw 100 less passes than they did the year before. In fact, they haven't thrown that few passes per game since 1982. They went from throwing the ball about the middle, about average for the NFL, to being the team that threw it the third least. And the two teams that threw it less, they threw it about the same as the Ravens and then the Eagles. And so they underwent a fundamental change in their offensive philosophy. And so when you look at just opportunity for these guys, I mean, I think if we had a 1,000-yard receiver, people would be happy. They would say we have a number one. But when you look at how many fewer passes they threw last year, there's a lot of improvement in that group. It's just not in the numbers. For example, if Reed would have had the same opportunities he had the year before and he performed like he did this year, even with the drops and everything, he'd have been over 1,000 yards. So you have to add about 20% to all of these guys' numbers just to make it an apples-to-apples comparison. And then, and I don't think this is going to change for the Packers. They went out and got Josh Jacobs for $12 million. And he produced almost 1,700 yards of offense last year. That's the same that Justin Jefferson is producing. And they paid him $12 million, and these other guys are getting $40 million. So,
and they paid big money for a guard who clearly is there to help the running game.
Right. And, and the Packers are doing something unique as well. They're dividing their opportunities equally between four guys. When you look at the targets, Dobbs, Reed, and Wicks all had between 70 and 75 targets. You just don't see that on any other team. And Watson had something in the 50s. So their approach is different. And so I don't know that the talent isn't there. In fact, if you look at at these young guys and you go back and look at guys that we hold up as the standards, they compare pretty well against these guys. Like Jaden Reed would compare well against Greg Jennings his first 2 years. Now, there's eye test issues, there's drops, there's other stuff that comes in. I'm not saying it's all about stats. But I think we're ignoring the fact that the Packers completely changed their offensive approach. And so to think that we're a wide receiver driven team isn't the case anymore.
Wait, let's look at the games in which Jordan Love started. I'd like to
Keith, I let me just get this cuz I was looking it up while we were talking. In the two games that Jordan Love didn't start, instead of having say 30 attempts, they had 14 and 19 attempts in those two games, right? So that factors into the lower number of targets. You're right. Jaden Reed went from having 94 targets as a rookie to 75. That's a drop of 19 targets. Even if he gets let's say, four targets in each of those games. He's still four more targets because Love is quarterbacking them instead of Malik Willis, who they clearly did not want throwing the ball frequently. And then add in the second half in Jacksonville when he threw five passes. And there aren't many big cheerleaders beyond me for Malik Willis. But we do have to authentically say with the eye test that they didn't ask him to go throw the football 40 times and go win a game, which is smart. That's not what you want him to do. But that part factors in. The drop numbers, there's no denying those, right? I mean, 30 drops as a team. The Super Bowl champion Eagles had seven all season. So the Packers dropped more than four times as many passes as the Eagles did. But I agree. Look, I agree with you. I'm not throwing the wide receivers out with the bathwater here. Like, I think Jaden Reed can still be a top-flight player. I still believe in Dontavian Wicks. That's my guy. I have more doubt about Romeo Doubs than ever before, and I think it sucks that the guy that I think could be a big-time player who finally stayed healthy, then tears his ACL in the finale in Christian Watson. But you are 1,000% right about this. They changed their offense. It was an engine that was driven by Josh Jacobs. But I would push back on you and say the problem with the offense is that when they needed it in the passing game, what they didn't have was the kind of play we saw Jalen Hurts throw on the dagger touchdown in the Super Bowl. The play action, down the field strike for the touchdown that removes all doubt of a comeback from the Chiefs. And so I think you can be both, you can be right, Keith, and we can also say that they need more from their passing game, and it doesn't have to be the wide receivers, right? Tucker Kraft, we all think, is a rising star in this league. But Tucker Kraft, if you look at his numbers from last year, as good as he was, this goes back to your point, he had 50 catches. He had 31 the year before. Yep. What's realistic to expect from a spread-it-around offense for Tucker Kraft? I don't know, in 2025.
He's the guy who benefited from Musgrave's injury. He got the targets that Musgrave got the year before. And so I guess that's my point. When you're doing this ensemble thing, it's almost mathematically impossible for anybody to have those numbers where you look at them and you're going to say they're a clear number one. And I know that's a chicken or egg kind of thing. If you had a true number one, would it be different? But, you know, there are 21 receivers who had 1,000 yards last year. 18 of them had 100 or more targets. And the other ones had between, I don't know, 93 and 100 or something like that. So, you know, I just don't think anybody ought to expect us to see giant numbers from any of these receivers as long as we're spreading things out over four guys. And I think that's maybe why they didn't bring Devontae in, because there's not enough mouths to feed. There are too many mouths to feed, I guess is what I'm saying, with the amount of throws they have. He wouldn't be happy with 75 targets. And if he gets 100, what does that mean for the rest of these guys they're trying to develop that are the future of the team? So, I mean, I think it's all in context with how their offense has changed. And I just don't think we can compare numbers year to year and say there's been no progress, because there's some pretty good numbers there. I know you don't like some of these stats. You look at Reed's, his passer rating when he's targeted, was 137 last year with 10 drops. That's insane.
Yeah, my problem with Reed, and whatever the reason is, and again, I don't know what the reason is, because
he disappeared.
He evaporated in the second half of the season.
Disappearing because he's not a good player, or is
right?
He disappearing
no. The debate is not what the reason is. Well, I don't know what the reason is, but his targets, starting with the Bears game that they win in Chicago, 2, 3, 6, 1, 6, 4, 4, 2.
Right.
Like he was a non-factor in the second half of the season. And we can't just chalk that up to, like, is he getting open? Is he getting open? I don't know. I'm not breaking down the film of those 8 or 9 games. My point is that, and here's the other issue. If they have changed their offense, and look, Keith, I am not pushing back. You made all great points. I mean, you did the research and everything. But what's going to happen now when 31 defensive coordinators, or I guess not all of them will look at it because they'll be preparing for other teams that don't, if they don't play the Packers. But what's the counter move in their passing game when teams say, well, we sure as hell ain't going to let Josh Jacobs beat us the way he did last year to a lot of teams, right? Because that's the next counter move for their offense. And Tausch and I have talked about, we think it's going to be the tight ends. We think they're going to run their offense in the passing game through the tight ends. They're going to believe that Luke Musgrave will be healthy and productive. They know what they have in Tucker Kraft, and then the wide receivers won't be ignored, but it won't be about them, to your point. But you know, despite the addition of Aaron Banks to be a road grading guard so they can run the ball even more effectively with their duo scheme for Josh Jacobs, you know teams are going to go into games saying, all right, let's see if they can throw it on us. We can't let Josh Jacobs beat us week in and week out. So is their passing game, if they have to throw it more after the way last season went, where is your confidence that they will be able to be productive? Mine's still pretty high because I still believe in Love and I still believe in the other receivers and I believe in their tight end group. But that'll be the counter move that Matt LaFleur has to make. Would you agree?
I do, but I think there's a philosophical difference maybe behind that. So clearly you stop the run, you got to throw. Okay. But I think what everybody expects is the only way you can do that is to have one stud receiver who you can throw to all the time. And I think the Packers approach is you got to cover 5. You know, you're going to have to cover tight ends, 4 wide receivers.
Yeah, and then you got Matt LaFleur saying at the end of the year, we got to win our one-on-one, sounded like Mike McCarthy. So, look, I'm not saying you have to have a number one receiver who you always go to. I'm not saying you need the Devontae effect of 160 targets or whatever he had his last season here. What I do think you need to have is a guy that on 3rd and 6, you know you can get that first down with him. And there have been times when Romeo Doubs was that guy, but after last season, I don't know what to expect from him anymore. I don't. I just don't. And after being leading the parade for Dontavian Wicks, I could be very much wrong about him. And maybe he is who he is, and he's not going to elevate his game. I don't know. But their passing game, regardless of QBR, regardless of Josh Jacobs, I would argue it has to be, in the critical moments, better than it was last year. And that's not something that necessarily is borne out just by stats alone.
Oh, Keith's gone.
Homer, what was your apology?
I think I may have gone too far for the first time. Because
never has happened. Uh-huh.
Well, because I shouldn't have gone with the Donald driver because I neglected to mention that he did have 5 carries for 62 yards, an average of 12 yards, and a touchdown. So he doesn't catch anything, but he did run 5 times and scored a touchdown. So it's still very, very, very small, but he's not an ant. I don't know what he is, but his ability to possibly carry the ball in the Packers offense would seem to be, must be mentioned as an addition. You may have, but he had 200.
You weren't listening. Your head was down, yeah.
Yeah, no. It's because I was focusing on the yardages in the last 2 years, which is incredible.
And you compared him to 47-year-old Donald Driver.
Right, and I think Donald Driver could, if he played at this age, match the receiving yardages over the last 2 years. I do not believe he could get a touchdown, have a rush for 20 yards. So it would appear that in terms of how he could assist the Packers, running in that, what do they call it, the power sweep, the reverse? What is the official title of that run?
Jet sweep.
Yeah.
End jet around. Sweep.
Right.
By the way, Donald Driver, just to make sure that we have correct information, per Pro Football Reference, he is 50 years and 45 days old.
That's correct.
So he's even older than Matt.
Right. And I believe he could catch. We don't have to have a poll question. I think he could catch 214 yards of passes in two seasons in the NFL.
At age 50.
Today. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Jesse, it's time for trivia. I don't know. All I know is I love his commercials for Cousins. They're almost as good as Vincent Price's from my youth. Jesse, it's Wednesday. Tausch is not here. I assume we're still going to play Wisconsin geography.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. Caller 10 right now for the fifth-rated QBR quarterback in the NFL's jersey number, Jordan Love. Caller 10, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia next after Tausch tells us about Quick Trip. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for Quick Trip. Well, life is busy and Quick Trip gets it. And whether you're craving fresh coffee, a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab-and-go meal or snack, Quick Trip is your go-to. Food's here. Quick Trip has a variety of apps and meals ready when you are. Plus, you always got to make room for dessert. Nature's Touch ice cream. You can get a gallon of chocolate or vanilla for $4.99. But wait, you know there's even more at Quick Trip right now. Quickery white bread for 99 cents a loaf. Get a 12-pack of sodas, 2 for $10, and Kitchen Cravings bacon-wrapped pork loins, 4 for $5. Can warm up on those remaining chilly days with soup bags, $6.99 every Tuesday for 36 or 40-ounce bags. And I can't get through talking about Quick Trip without mentioning the great deals on chicken. Roasted whole chicken on special for $6.99 on Mondays. Whether it's a quick bite or dinner on the go, Quick Trip is the ultimate destination. Fuel your day with quality taste. Download the Quick Rewards app and take advantage of all Quick Trip has to offer. Quick Rewards on every visit, plus you can order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip. We'll see you next time.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
How's it go, baby? Go, go, go!
Time for trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants. It is a first-time contestant. It's Bill in New Berlin. Bill, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Morning. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are very good. We appreciate you playing for the first time. Have you been trying for a while, or is just this a new thing where you tried?
I've tried a couple times in the past, maybe 5 to 10 times calling in, but first time I got through. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see how you fare in Wisconsin Geography Wednesday trivia. Question number one is this. The Kress Center and the Resch Center are both basketball arenas home to college teams in which of these Wisconsin cities? Green Bay, Milwaukee, or Madison?
I will go with Green Bay.
The home of the Phoenix, the Kress Event Center, and the Resch Center. Correct. Demundo, question number one.
No, Wisconsin-Green Bay is not going to play there much next year.
Play
men's basketball.
Yeah.
They're going to play almost all their games on campus, smaller arena. A greater competitive edge, so Doug Gottlieb can win more than 4 games, which he will.
It would help to have his leading scorer, too. Question two, Bill, is this, by the way, the Kress Center is a really nice, fun facility.
Fabulous.
It is smaller, but I enjoy the games that I've been to, and it does get very loud.
As someone who went to a smaller school, I think all schools the size of Green Bay should play in on-campus arenas. You can make some alcohol sales if you play in a downtown arena and whatnot, but there's the competitive advantage you get playing at home in a small venue like that is incredible.
I don't know enough about the rules. I have some friends who are on like their athletic board and stuff. I'll have to ask, but I am curious. The Resch Center, it does look cavernous when you don't have a lot of people in there. Question two, Bill, is this. A latitudinally. Which of these Wisconsin cities is located farther north than the alleged burial plots of John Heisman, the man for which the Heisman Trophy has been named?
You're kidding. This can't be a question.
It's a question.
Oh,
yesterday,
my God.
There was a lengthy discussion of John Heisman's burial plot in which Wisconsin city or town or whatever. By the way, I got a lot of texts about that.
We can reveal for the sake of the question that it's in
Okay.
Rhinelander is where Tausch told us yesterday, the mystery man from the speaking engagement he was at. Mystery man came up to him, said, "Do you know where John Heisman's buried?" Which is a weird thing to ask a stranger. It is Rhinelander. And that is context for this question.
I would have said in a box.
So now,
good answer.
So now this question becomes a little bit easier. Which of these Wisconsin cities are farther north than Rhinelander? Is it Eagle River, Crivitz, or Chippewa Falls?
We got to get the Chippewa Falls.
Boy, I am not entirely sure. I know I worked up in the Eau Claire area for a while, so I'm just going to guess Chippewa Falls.
Eagle River farther north than Chippewa Falls and Rhinelander. All right, bounce back here, Bill. Question three. Kamari McGee of Wisconsin, Tyrese Hunter of Memphis, and Amari Jedkins of Montana are all 2025 NCAA tournament participants this year who played high school basketball at schools in which of these Wisconsin cities?
Can I answer this?
No, you may not. Kenosha, Racine, or Appleton?
Oh, man. Wow. This is going to be another guess. I will go with Racine.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Tyrese Hunter, by the way, I'm reading here, is out with a foot injury. Whether or not he'll be able to return for the NCAA tournament, we'll have to wait and see. But he was.
By the way, one was coached by someone who I referred to during a Marquette game as looking like Pee Wee Herman and all his teammates. And his coach has not appreciated that even to this day. That would be Nick Bennett, the son of Jack Bennett, when they were at Stevens Point playing Marquette. And they all did look like Pee Wee Herman. All right, back to this.
I didn't realize Tyrese Hunter was at Memphis now. I remember when he was at Iowa State, and then he left for Texas, and now he's at Memphis. He played at Racine St. Catharines. Bill, you got 2 out of 3, so well done. That means you got 3 of the possible 4 entries into Friday's drawing. We appreciate you being a first-time contestant, and we appreciate your loyalty to the show, buddy. Thanks.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
That is Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Whoa, Nelly is next after Tausch tells us about UW Credit Union. It's Wilde and Tausch.
UW Credit Union member Mark Tauscher here. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they'll help you reach your financial goals. And if you're like me, you've always got cheddar on the mind. UW Credit Union can help with no monthly fee checking and great rates that let you keep more of your cheese. And when you're at that stage of life where you're ready to purchase a new home, UW Credit Union is your location, location, location for home loans. With UW Credit Union's local experts, a great loan at a great rate is never far from home. Join today at uwcu.org. That's uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Give me one reason to stay.
Time now for an abbreviated
Won't Ellie.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Homer, I'm getting ready to fill out my Cousin Subs bracket challenge here with ESPN Wisconsin. Chance to win $1,000 in Cousin Subs. I don't know what you're allowed to say or not allowed to say, but...
Don't get him in trouble with the NCAA or Marquette, please.
I just want to know how far I can hope that Marquette will make it here in these first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament, because it wasn't the strongest finish to the regular season, but they're battle-tested in postseason play. I kind of like the matchup with New Mexico because the Mountain West stinks in the NCAA tournament, as evidenced last night by San Diego State.
Oof.
So... I kind of like it, but I'm concerned about that Michigan State game in round two because they always put Marquette up against Michigan State for some reason.
I like to say you can determine how everybody believes on something, not by what they say, but by how much they would bet. I would bet a significant amount, theoretically, against New Mexico. I would not bet much against Michigan State.
Mmm. Jason,
you need more?
I think that suffices as I try
very
to win $1,000.
I mean, in my bracket, as the voice of Marquette basketball, I tend to be very positive in my selection.
Sure.
Yeah. Are you even allowed to fill one out? Isn't that against sort of rules?
I don't think so.
He only writes Marquette all the way and no other teams are on it.
Exactly.
I'm glad we could clarify. By the way, just want to let everybody know the campaign for Steve the Homer True to be inducted into the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame is underway. I've reached out to them via
Twitter. Yeah, you got a ways to go. I checked to see who's in
it. Oh boy.
It's a long, arduous process, but I've taken the longest journey starts with the first step. And I have taken that.
There is a local legends category. Would you be offended if you got in as a local legend?
That's like the seniors committee.
It hasn't changed. Nothing's changed as far as my premise.
I may even be willing to put that out there, Mark Belling, just to get you in. All right. I do want to know. Because we haven't talked Marquette basketball, and we have you on. What are the encouraging signs you saw during the Big East tournaments that make you feel good about where the Golden Eagles are heading into this postseason?
No, they're playing better. They've had a stretch of good games. They lost a close game to St. John's, played St. John's better than anybody else has since then. They just have to shoot the ball well. There are just too many players that have missed shots, and the game is real simple, like North Carolina. North Carolina won by 100 last night against a very good defensive team in San Diego State because their star player was 6-for-6 shooting threes.
Yeah, he's
Marquette has just missed, hasn't shot well enough shooting threes, and that will determine how far they go in the tournament, as it will for many teams. But their overall play has gotten back to be better in the last few games. So they shoot well. They could win both games. But they
have it.
So,
from the voice of Marquette men's basketball,
yes.
For 35 years, Steve the Homer True and future Wisconsin Broadcasters Association,
I wouldn't bet much on that.
Hall of Famer. Well, we'll have to wait and see.
We need
to wrap things up. We also need to hear from. I guess we'll hear from Tausch again tomorrow. How many of these did he record, by the way?
A lot. He's got a lot to tell us about while he's gone. Well, that'll happen back into March. Busy time.
We do look forward to his triumphant return. In the meantime,
can you believe he left and will be back, and they'll play all the NCAA tournament games except the Final Four and the championship?
I can totally believe that. Yep.
He left before the tournament started, and he'll be back, and there will be 3 college basketball games left. Old T.
He's one of one. You can be one of many going to see Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live if you win a pair of tickets right now, courtesy of McDonald's. Caller number 7 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, wins two tickets to Thanalysis Live, March 29th at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Join Thanasis for a live show that's going to entertain fans like none other. Last year, Giannis was there. Stephen A. Smith was there. You never know who's going to be there for Thanalysis Live. And if you don't win tickets now, here on Wilde and Tausch, you can still get your tickets to Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live right now by visiting ESPN Milwaukee's and ESPN Madison's social media channels to get the event and ticket information. Excitement and entertainment you can't get anywhere else. It's Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live, presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and by Carbless, and supported by the Prisoner Wine Company and McDonald's. Right now, caller 7, courtesy of McDonald's, gets two tickets to Thanalysis Live, 844-770-3776. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Madison's new home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Churio, a high fly ball. Back! Track! Bye-bye baseball!
100.5 ESPN, your new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
That's all we have time for today.
What?
I know.
I'm just getting started.
Well, good thing you have a show later on today.
By the way, yes, it'll be on YouTube. We're not on the radio because of the Brewers. So if you want a shot at Rain Man, you'll... I don't know how we're going to do that. Oh, no. I guess we can do
People
it.
People can still call the studio. In.
Yep, that's true. I'm not an expert on YouTube.
So I'm still joining you at 5:15.
You and are, yeah.
Do you have Bulaga tomorrow again still, so I get to talk to both of
you knuckleheads
again? Yes,
the Brewers will not be on, so yes, you will be.
All right. I look forward to talking with you on YouTube later. Thank you for being our cousin sub of the day and allowing us to enjoy the beautiful camouflage hat you've been wearing and the top of it throughout today's program. Anything to add?
No, they don't. People don't know how bald I am. I think that's a plus. I like the idea of hats now.
Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.